This is the Daily Radio Ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of 1 Corinthians. And now here's Pastor Sandy with part two of his study called Mr. Carnal in 1 Corinthians chapter 3.
I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. You see, the problem with the Corinthians wasn't the food in the cupboard. It was their inability to chew and to swallow that food. This limited them to sipping milk. Their own carnality created their dietary deficiency. You know, you'll find some Bible passages, they require the reader to have some teeth. You got to chew on it. You got to mull it over. You got to break it down before you can digest its truth. Hebrews 5 verse 13 tells us, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." In other words, the spiritual meat eaters, they've grown some teeth. By reason of use, they have sharpened their spiritual senses. Spiritual maturity takes more than just adding spiritual calories, just packing on more knowledge. It involves you applying what you learn. You take a biblical truth. You exercise it in real life. You put it into practice. That's what adds muscle to your faith. Muscles grow when you exercise them. The same is true with faith. In other words, if God is teaching you to trust Him, well, then start with your money. Give an offering. Dare to trust God and step out in faith. If He's dealing with your fears, then identify one and face it head on. If He's teaching you patience, well, then get involved with some teenagers. Hey, to grow spiritually, you have to start applying what you're learning. The carnal Christian instead, though, looks around and thinks the grass is greener, but he's not watering his own lawn. Oh, it's cute to watch a newborn nurse or suck on a bottle. But if it's an 18-year-old still chugging Similac, we would consider it despicable. And this was the problem in Corinth. Their carnality had kept them from growing up. Actually, one way to tell if you're a babe or if you're a maturing Christian is to ask, "What's my spiritual diet?" The carnal Christian sips skim milk. It's all his digestive tract can handle. Whereas a mature believer orders filet mignon. He enjoys hearty, meaty Bible studies. A carnal Christian enjoys Bible stories, but lacks a taste for Bible doctrine. A babe in Christ wants to know about God, but a spiritual man aspires to know God himself. The carnal Christian marvels at what God does, whereas the spiritual person wants to worship who God is. A spiritual baby likes learning biblical principles that serve his own interests, but he falls short of adopting a biblical perspective that changes his outlook. The carnal Christian can have a mind full of Bible facts, but a spiritual person has a heart full of love. Again, it's okay to be a spiritual babe for a season, but too many believers stay put. They never graduate kindergarten and grow on to be a mature Christian. Here in verse 3, Paul goes on to list another defining characteristic of the carnal Christian. He says, "For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" Envy, strife, division. You could sum those things up by saying the inability to get along with others. This is proof of a Christian's immaturity. And this is what was happening in the church at Corinth. This church was the equivalent of a spiritual nursery. The believers were acting like babies. They were demanding their own way, refusing to cooperate with each other. In the Corinthian church, when it came to attitude, there wasn't much difference with what was going on in the sanctuary and what was going on down the hall in the toddler's room. You see, carnal believers and babies have lots of similarities. For one, they whine when they don't get their way. How quickly a toddler will stick out his bottom lip and pout. I've seen it in babies, and I've seen it in carnal Christians. In fact, I think this is the number one enemy of today's church. Think about this. We live in a culture that wants to ban prayer in the Bible from the public square. A culture that condones abortion, that mocks Christian morality, that is redefining gender and marriage, that embraces false religion, that may soon brand the Bible's teaching on homosexuality as hate speech. These are huge battles, aren't they? These things should concern us. And yet churches today are quibbling and squabbling over the pettiest of stuff. Carnal Christians don't like the style of music, or the colors in the sanctuary, or the order of the service, or the length of the sermon. Friends, we're at war. The church needs a wartime mentality. Instead, we act like spoiled brats. Hey, changes are going to occur in our country very, very soon. Christianity's about to cost us. When being a Christian starts to hurt, we'll set aside our pettiness. We'll learn to love one another. But if we did it now, perhaps God would send us the revival that we desperately need. And yet carnal Christians and newborns, they have other similarities. They can't stand on their own, and thus they have to be held. This is true of a child and of a new believer. You know, when I dedicate a baby, often I have to hold its neck, have to hold its head up. The neck muscles haven't developed enough to brace the weight of its head. It has to be supported. And the same is true of the faith of a new Christian. As long as a carnal Christian is in the right company and is exposed to the right environment, he or she will grow. They'll feed off the faith of others. But remove the external props and the faith begins to flop. Carnal Christians have to learn to stand on their own. They can't always be held by others. Another problem that babies and carnal Christians have in common is a lack of discernment. They're easily deceived. This week I had the opportunity to spend a little time with my 2-year-old grandkids, and I did the gag, you know, where you pinch the nose off their face and hold up their nose like that and show it to them, and then you put it back on their face and reattach their nose. And when I did that, they giggled and they squealed. And as soon as I pulled their nose off, they wanted it back on. And so I stuck it back on. I'm not sure whether they were just enjoying the attention or if they really believed I was yanking the nose off their face. But they seemed genuinely gullible. Little kids and carnal Christians are prone to be extremely naive. And this is why the cultist preys on believers who know very little about the faith, who don't know the basic Bible truths, who've yet to learn the scriptures. New Christians lack spiritual discernment. It takes a while for the Holy Spirit to tutor us and to get us up to speed. In the meantime, new believers need help. Thus, those of us who've been around the block a time or two, we need to take those younger Christians under our wing. Here's another trait shared by both babes in Christ and babies. They haven't learned to feed themselves, not yet. You know, they've got to first develop the reflexes and then learn the direction to their mouth. And then they have to get control of that big spoon. And the same is true with new Christians. At first, he or she has to be spoon-fed by pastors and by mentors. It takes time to develop the coordination and the skill to read the Bible for yourself and to draw out its truths. It doesn't just happen overnight. It takes a while for a newbie to get acclimated to a book that they may have never read seriously before. This past week, I read about Arlo. On his wedding day, his grandpa gave him and his new wife a leather Bible. Their names were embossed in gold on the front cover. Arlo and his wife, they sent a thank you note to grandpa. They acknowledged the gift, but they never really opened the Bible. In fact, Arlo had left it in the box and stuck it in the closet. Often over the next several years, every time Arlo spoke to his grandpa, Gramps would ask him how he was enjoying that Bible. Finally, out of curiosity, Arlo got the Bible out of the closet and he opened it up. And he found at the front page of the book of Genesis a crisp new $20 bill. Actually, at the beginning of every new book in that Bible, there was a $20 bill. There ended up being over $1,300. In that Bible he had never opened. There were treasures that he had forfeited because he had never opened his Bible. And this is my word to you today, friend. There are treasures that you're forfeiting, that you're leaving on the table, that are for you, and you're not accessing if you don't open your Bible. This is why the mature Christian needs to learn to feed himself on God's Word. Also, both babies and carnal Christians, they have short attention spans. And as a result, they get easily distracted. You know, a baby sees something that glitters out of the corner of their eye. They hear an attractive rattle, instantly pull away from what really matters. And the same happens to us Christians. We too get distracted. We know that life is following Jesus, but we see something that glitters just a bit or that provides a tempting rattle and it pulls at us. We're drawn away by a foolish curiosity. It's like a fish. I don't understand fish. They're supposed to have gone to school. They seem pretty dumb to me. I mean, a fish sees that lure in the water. Surely he's been warned. Other fish have told him. I mean, these things aren't disguised all that well. You didn't even see the hook on the lure. But it shimmers and it glimmers. And that fish just can't help itself. Takes the bait. Its life is over. And I know believers who do the same thing. Just a little glimmer, a little shimmer draws them away. We need to sedate our hyperactive curiosity. We need to trust God that He knows what's best. Speaking of fish, recently Microsoft surveyed 2,000 customers and discovered the average attention span in our country has shrunk. At the turn of the century, it was 12 seconds. Today, we lose our concentration in 8 seconds. Microsoft concludes it's the effect of smartphones and internet surfing and multi-screens. It's the effect this has on our brain. But what's funny is that other scientists have determined that a goldfish's attention span is 9 seconds. That means that a goldfish has a longer attention span than the average human. Sounds fishy, but it's true. And just as babies end up the center of attention, the carnal Christian also demands the same. He loves being in the limelight. It was humorously said of Teddy Roosevelt, he wanted to be the bride at every wedding and the corpse at every funeral. Sadly, I know a lot of people like that. Old Teddy had a love for the limelight. He wasn't shy about taking center stage. And this is the case with both babies and carnal Christians. They both live a very self-centered life. Just this past week, I noticed again our selfie culture. Everywhere you turn these days, folks are taking and posting their selfies. I mean, people focus the lens of their camera not on the beautiful vistas in front of them, not on the intriguing portraits around them, but on themselves. Surprise, surprise, we're preoccupied with ourselves. You know, it's interesting that of all the photos taken today by adults ages 18 to 24, they say that 30% are now selfies. Some observers worry that the family photo album, the book that was treasured by past generations, a catalog of memories that include our relatives and our friends, are going to be replaced soon by pages of self-snapshots. Welcome to the selfie generation. It's another example of our childishness and our selfishness. Hey, to understand a carnal Christian, just walk down the hall and check out the nursery. Now, it's interesting to me how Paul phrases the ending of verse 3. It's a question. He says, are you not carnal in behaving like mere men? He infers here that Christians are not supposed to just be mere men or mere women. You know, we learned it last time that we have supernatural powers, that we have the Holy Spirit living within us. We've been supernaturally enabled. Remember the astonishing words at the end of chapter 2. We have the mind of Christ. We're now privy to God's wisdom and His power. What the human eye does not see and the ear does not hear and the mind cannot grasp, the riches of Christ is conveyed to us by God's Spirit. And this means that God expects more from us. Rather than act carnal or be natural, we're called to be spiritual people. folks influenced by the Holy Spirit. God holds us to a higher standard than mere men. And this is how I think of being a father. For neither is a dad a mere man. A father is something special in the mind and in the plan of God. As a dad, I am God's representative to my children. God even gives me His name. Just as God reveals Himself to us as Father, He calls on me to be a father to my kids. And there is nothing selfish or self-centered or self-absorbed about being a dad. It is just the opposite. You see, the first requirement for being a good dad is to grow up. Being a child's father is the most sacrificial task most of the men in this room will ever be called on to do. A father's job is to lead and influence his family. And how can he, at least in a godly way, unless he is first under the influence and control of the Holy Spirit? Seems apparent from our text that carnal Christians make for lousy dads. How can you be a babe in Christ and also be a father? A dad is more than a mere man. In a CNN article by Bill Bennett entitled, "Why Men Are in Trouble," Bill explains how men in America have lost their way today. Bennett says that in 1960, men earned 60% of the college degrees. In 2006, it was down to 43%. Today, women earn more degrees than men by 3-2. In 1950, 5% of working-age men were unemployed. In 2010, the percentage was at an all-time high of 20%. Today, the out-of-marriage birth rate in America is 40%. 27% of all kids now live in a home without their father. Today, 18 to 30-year-old men spend more time playing video games than 12 to 17-year-old boys. Bennett draws this conclusion. If you don't believe the numbers, just ask young women about men today. You will find them talking about prolonged adolescence and men who refuse to grow up. I've heard too many young women asking, "Where are the decent single men?" There is a maturity deficit among men. Apparently, this is not only a problem today, it was the situation in Paul's day among the Corinthians. There were men in this church who were acting like boys. Realize the difference between a man and a boy. It has nothing to do with age. No, a man takes responsibility, whereas a boy tries to shun it. A man answers to a higher authority. He realizes he's accountable to do things a certain way, even the right way, even God's way. He understands that life is not a piece of cake. He's not expecting a handout. He trusts God and he works hard. This is what constitutes a man. Instead, boys opt for shortcuts. Hey, boys want a wife and a job and a house and kids that aren't a lot of work. They might as well believe in Santa Claus. He doesn't exist either. Here's what a boy thinks. I want money, just not a regular job. I want to own a business, but without the long hours it requires. Oh, I want sex, but not the commitment of a marriage and a family. I want a cool church. I just don't want to have to give anything or do anything. And when that boy becomes a dad, it's trouble. Boys love their toys more than their families. They deny it, but they do. A boy drives a nice car while his wife drives around in the beater. A boy purchases a big screen while his kids lack the money to sign up for Little League. A boy goes out and buys a guitar while his wife struggles to make do without a washer and a dryer. Don't be a boy. It's time for some of us to man up. Or as Paul would put it, don't be a mere man. The last thing your family needs is a carnal dad. We need to man up and live our lives under the influence and control of the Holy Spirit. Dad, here's how to be a spiritual man for your God and for your family. Remember the similarities we discussed between babes and carnal Christians? Well, live a different kind of life. Be more than a mere man. First, stop whining. Don't whine when you don't get your way. Work to change the situation. Pray for God to change the situation. Trust God to work all things together for your good and His glory. But whatever you do, don't whine and complain. Second, learn to stand on your own. Grow a backbone. Have some convictions, Dad. Take a stand. Third, develop some discernment. You need to cut some spiritual teeth. Chew on the Scriptures. Settle what you believe. Fourth, learn to feed yourself. Guys, don't you depend on your wife to do the heavy spiritual lifting in your family. It's not her job. It's the man's duty to lead his family spiritually. And if he's going to be successful at it, he has to know his Bible and he has to hear from his God. Fellas, if you don't have a devotional life where you open your Bible and you listen for God every day, it's time to get busy. Why would your wife and kids want to follow you if they can't see you following Jesus? Fifth, develop some attention span, at least longer than a goldfish. A big part of being a man is the ability to overcome distractions and to stay focused on your goal for longer than 8 seconds. Concentrate on what really matters. And then six, stop thinking it's all about you, because it's not. When you sign up to be a dad, everything changes. It's now all about mom and the kids, giving them a better life. Don't be a selfie dad. That's an oxymoron. Before I got married, I didn't realize how selfish I was. In retrospect, my little world revolved all around me. I thought I was being unselfish, but then I'd go home and take care of myself. Oh, but then I got married. Nobody forced me to. I did it of my own volition. And all of a sudden, I found out I couldn't come home after work and just veg out and take care of myself and do what I wanted. My wife needed me. I had to be a little less selfish. But then I had kids. And I didn't stop at one. Again, nobody forced me. It was my own choice. I had four of those kids. And oh my, unselfish was now the operative word. The moment I walked in the house, I had new responsibilities, and it didn't even stop on the weekends. Those kids needed their daddy 24/7. You know, one day it dawned on me, God didn't want me to be selfish. God wanted me to be like Jesus. And so guess what he did? He gave me a Kathy, and a Zach, and a Nat, and a Nick, and a Mac. God and life have been weaning me off of me. And that's what being a dad is all about. It's about growing up. It's about being spiritual and not carnal. My question to us today would be this: are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? If so, stop it. Don't be a mere man. God has called you to be so much more. Don't be a boy. Don't be a baby. Be a man. In fact, be a spiritual man. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us today for Sandy Adams Radio. This message is part of a series Pastor Sandy has been teaching on the books of 1 and 2 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul wrote letters to several different churches throughout his ministry. These two letters to the Corinthian church teach us how to live with one another as followers of Christ, but also how to live faithfully in a world that doesn't follow the same Jesus we do. If you're in the Atlanta area and want to become part of a community of like-minded believers, we'd love to invite you to join us at Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain. You can find more about our church by visiting us online at sandyadams.org. and navigating to our church page under the About tab. Now, here's Pastor Sandy to tell you how you can get even more plugged in to God's Word.
Are you looking to gain a deeper knowledge of Scripture and training for ministry? Maybe you're thinking about a gap year to build a strong foundation in your faith. Calvary Bible Institute South in Stone Mountain, Georgia is here for you. At CBI South, you'll experience hands-on ministry training and sound biblical teaching to last a lifetime. Apply now for the fall 2026 semester at cbisouth.com. That's cbisouth.com.
Thanks, Pastor Sandy. Well, we're running out of time for today. Be sure to tune in next time to hear another message straight from God's Word on Sandy Adams Radio.